Amen. Welcome to PBFC. We're so glad that each and every one of you are here. Let's give our visitors a hand clap this morning. We welcome you visitors this morning. I see a few here today that I haven't seen for quite a while, so we're glad to see you too, Ron and Linda, and those others that I might see. It's good to see you in God's house this morning, just to let you know we're noticing. We're glad you're here. Let's get into scripture this morning. I'm taking my text this morning from the book of Job. I mentioned in our first service, Job is a challenging book. It's a book that talks about the struggles that God allowed on an individual that kept his faith in God through very difficult circumstances. The first two chapters of the book of Job really speak about, we'll read some of it, but it talks about the man Job, and it talks about the conversation that takes place between God and the enemy concerning Job's life. But the last of the entire book of Job is all about questions. Has anybody ever had any questions? The whys, the hows, the when, and you know, why doesn't God seem to be doing in my life what I think he ought to be doing? Has anybody ever questioned that? How many have ever tried to pray and felt like your prayers were only going maybe as high as the ceiling and bouncing back right at you? And you've wondered maybe through circumstances of life, God, where are you? God, do you hear my prayers? Anybody ever said some things like that? How many would be real honest and even say, God, do you really exist? Come on, be honest this morning. So the rest of the chapter is really about questions. Let's begin in Job chapter 1. Everybody say at the beginning. This is at the beginning of the story of what we find out. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to have God say of you? Amen. I mean, you know, we all have opinions of one another, don't we? Come on, don't get quiet. Everybody might think something about you, but really the opinion that counts more than any is God. And his opinion of Job was that Job was blameless and upright, who shunned or escheweth evil. He saw evil, he'd run the different direction. What a wonderful statement. I'd love God to make that statement for me. Verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Verse 10, "Have you not made a hedge around him and his household, round all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." He's telling them basically the only reason he loves you is because you've blessed him. If you strip those things away from him, he'll curse you right direct. The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Everybody say unmovable. We talked a little bit last week in our theme of being solid to the core. And one of the things we said is that we of God's people need to be absolutely unmovable. I don't care what comes against us. God, you can count on me. Yes. Amen? Yes. No matter what, God, you can count on me. Don't just talk about it. Yes. That's the reality. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. Now, I'm not the greatest at telling nursery rhymes, but I've got one for you. We'll talk about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Now, remember that Goldilocks was going through the forest, kind of got lost, ended up at the door. I got corrected after the first service already, by the way. I don't know these really well, so I got corrected. So I'm going to try to make sure I tell it right. But if I do it wrong, just tell me afterwards. I'm sure you will. She goes, knocks on the door, tries to get someone to come to the door. Nobody comes to the door. She goes in, and sitting on the table are three bowls of porridge. Is that right? Porridge. That's what I got corrected on. Porridge. I think it's beef stew. That's what I like. I'll say it's beef stew. Anyway, there's three bowls of beef stew. And she's so hungry. She goes to the first bowl, and when she first takes a bite, it's too hot for her. And she just can't eat it. So she goes to the second bowl, and it's too cold. She can't eat that one, so she goes to the third bowl, and it's just right. So she's so hungry, she eats every bit of it. When she gets done eating the bowl of what did I say it was?
Beef stew.
Beef stew. When she gets done eating the bowl of beef stew, she thinks, I need to sit down. So she goes and she finds a chair, and it's a big chair. She climbs up in it, and she thought, man, this is not comfortable. It just doesn't fit me. Just doesn't fit me. So she gets out of that chair and she goes to the next chair, and it's also too big for her. She thinks, I can't sit here. It's just not comfortable. So she finally goes to this little chair and she sits in that chair and she says, this chair is just right. And she sits there for a while and she's enjoying it. And she finally decides, I'm tired. So I'm going to go see if I can take a nap. So she goes and she climbs up under this bed and she says, I can't sleep in this bed. It's too big. She goes to another bed and she says, I can't sleep in this bed. It's too. You guys are helping me way too much. I want you to know. Now just. Well, that's all right. Just stay with the theme of it, all right? For goodness sakes. You guys are a hard crowd. You're rougher than that first crowd. They liked my nursery rhyme. So she goes to the second bed and it's also too big for her. And so she finally gets in the third bed. And the third bed is just right. Just right. And so she falls asleep. Well, you know what? I've noticed in church, there are what I would call fair weather Christians. Fair, yeah, that's all of it. That's, yeah, you've heard the end of it that I'm going to tell. All right. Fair weather Christians. Now I like to ride motorcycles. And we've done some riding in days that are not the best days to ride. When we came home with the bike when I bought it in Texas, we happened to be at a heat wave summer before last. 112, 115, 116 degree days. And I found out something about my wife. How many know that if mama's not happy,
ain't nobody happy.
And she was absolutely miserable because it was so hot. And then, you know, there's times when we've taken trips, because if you've been on a bike for very long, you go to the other extreme. And you get days when you're traveling on a bike where it's really, really cold. And if you've ever been on a bike when it's cold, it is cold. Now, on my bike, by the way, I do have seat warmers. Hallelujah. And I have heated hand grips. Come on now. But my wife, let me tell you, when it's cold on that bike, she gets mean. I mean, she don't like it. You know why? She's a fair weather rider. She likes to go out on a day that is picture perfect. You know the wind blowing in our helmet? Picture perfect. She likes it when the temperature is just right. You know, there are people that like to go to churches that don't have too many people in them. Because if they got too many people, they're too crowded. But they don't want to go to a church that has too few people too, because that makes them feel like they're being seen by everybody. They want to go to a church that's just right. They don't want to go to a church where the sound is too loud. Because if the sound is too loud, it hurts their ears. But they don't want to go to a church that's too quiet either, because if a church is too quiet, that gets on their nerves. They want to go to a church that's just right. They don't want to go to a church where the temperature is kept a little bit hotter than they like. They don't want it to be hot in church. They want it to be comfortable. They don't want to go to a church where it's too cold, because if it's too cold, they're miserable. They want to go to a church that's just right. They don't want to go to the church where the preacher preaches too long. I knew I'd have your attention somewhere in this. They don't want to go where it's too long, because they might miss their lunch scheduled appointment. I mean, we only come once a week on Sunday. But we don't want to miss anything else that we enjoy life, so don't let them preach too long, but we also don't want the preacher to preach too short, because we certainly want to get something in it. So we want it to be just right. Fair weather Christians. We want everything to be just right. We want the music to be just right. We want the songs to be just right. We want everybody to be able to pick your selection. And we'll only sing your selection. Because we want it to be just right. Fair weather Christians. Let's take a look at Job's life. The Bible tells us that when Satan went to the Lord and they began to converse over Job's life, Satan told God, God, he does serve you, but the only reason he serves you is because you have blessed him so much. You've given him so much. Everything's good. He's got a good wife, got good children, got good livelihood. He's wealthy. He's blessed. Can I tell you, there are a lot of people that think if you're spiritual, then you've got to have finance. Because spiritual people have finance. Spiritual people have health. Spiritual people have pretty wives and pretty husbands. And they have everything going for them. If you're spiritual, that's just a requirement. It's just what you will have. And Job had everything. Satan said, but if you will take that hedge from around him, you start taking away from the things that he has, he'll start cursing you with his mouth. What he was really saying was, is Job will be nothing more than a fair weather Christian. He'll just be one that only as long as you're blessing him, then you'll have God, you'll have the praises from Job. But let you take him off his mountain and put him in a valley experience, and Job will begin to curse you. If you take him off, how many have ever been on the mountaintop? How many have ever been in the valley? There's a difference. If you start stripping his bank account, he'll stop trusting you. If you start taking his health, he'll start turning his back on you. If you change his environment, do you know there are people today that can only come to church. You know what one of the things, and I tell my wife this all the time, one of the things that I desperately do not want it to do on Sundays is be bad weather. I don't want it to rain on Sundays. Does anybody know why I don't want it to rain on Sundays? Because people won't come to church if it's raining. They'll go to a football game. They'll go fishing. They can even brave the snow and go snow skiing. No problem at all. They can go water skiing in the summertime. They don't mind getting wet, but let it rain on Sundays and they can't come to church. I've wanted to put, and we'll probably do it in the future, I'd like to put some awnings over our area by the entrance door so that you can pull people under so they can be let out under the awning to walk in dry, so that, trying to make it convenient. Can I tell you, when we went to church, when I was a kid growing up, when we went to church, we didn't even have padding on our seats. If you didn't make it on your own, you didn't have it. You'd come in and it'd be a wooden seat, and you'd sit on that wooden seat. Now, you didn't sit there long because we were Pentecostal, so you were up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. But when you were down, you were on a wooden seat. And we didn't come to church for an hour. It's a fact. When we would have church, and we never missed church, and my brothers and I lived close to the church, and we would walk to the church, and if it rained outside, you know what that meant? You walked in the rain. Right? Faster, yes. Through the alley, right? To get to church so we could be there. And if the church doors were open, we were there. And we didn't have revivals that only lasted 3 or 4 nights. We had revivals that would go for weeks. You'd never miss church. Our regular church times was Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And we never missed church. But you know, lives have changed. Times have changed. And now you've got certain things that you've got to try to do to make it comfortable for people to come to God's house. And I do believe that if we're not careful, we turn into what is called fair weather Christians. God, as long as you take good care of me, I'll serve you. I'll bless you. But when I face difficulties in life, I begin to question my even walk with God. I begin to question, Lord, do you love me? Did you really save me? How many have ever asked God, God, have you really saved me? That's really good if it's only a couple of you, but I've asked the Lord that. I said, God, am I really saved? Do I really feel your presence? Do I really know your voice? Do I feel your anointing? Do I experience your power? Am I living in the overcoming victory of Christ? Am I there? Look at your neighbor and say, are you unmovable? Joshua chapter 24, scripture that we often quote, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does that mean? That means no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm serving God. I've made a commitment to Jesus Christ that I'm going to serve Him the remainder of my life, and nothing will separate me from that love of God. Amen? I'm going to serve Him. Let's look at what happened to Job, because this is crazy. Job lost everything. You know that pretty wife that he had? She looked at him one day after everything started going, and she said, listen, you might as well just curse God and die. Has anybody ever had something try to slip away from you? Have you ever felt the shift when something started to slip? And you try to hang on to something, and you're losing it all the time you're trying to hang on to it? This may surprise you, but years ago, I used to wait tables in a restaurant. In fact, when my wife and I were dating, I was waiting tables. And what I worked at, where Blueberry Twist is now, Blueberry used to be in the Thrifty Plaza area. Those of you that have been around Oroville know that used to be Blueberry Twist, but before that, it was Thrifty Coffee Shop. How many can remember back to Thrifty Coffee Shop? Well, my brothers and I worked there. And I waited tables there. And both my brother and I, Terry and I, could do a pretty decent job waiting tables. And that's a fact. Am I right, Terry? We could do it. Smile like you mean it. Come on. You know we could. We could wait tables. And one time, our most expensive thing on the menu was steak and shrimp. I don't today know what that cost, but at that time, that was the number one ticket on the menu. And one time, I had lined my arm up with steak and shrimp. And then, you know, if you're a server, you don't just carry in one arm. You also put something in the other hand as well. And I'm walking from where I picked up the food, walking toward where I'm delivering the food, and I felt the shift. Have you ever felt the shift? It's unsettling. You know something's wrong. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I felt the shift. I went, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I'm going, uh-oh. It's not good. So what do you do when you feel the shift? You adjust. So I tried to adjust my arm slightly. Now, mind you, I'm looking down at the food that I'm carrying, but I could feel it slipping. And I'm trying to adjust. I can't catch it with my other hand because I've got food in my other hand. So I feel it. And then one plate of steak and shrimp slips off the arm onto the floor. Well, when it does, guess what happens to the other plates? They begin to shift and slip also. And I begin to feel, I'm like, no! I'm trying to catch these plates of food. Now, in my mind, because I'm a very conservative person. No, that's not what was in my mind. No, my mind is, I hope they don't take this out of my check. Because I've got the most expensive thing on the menu and I'm losing it all. And so all of a sudden, I'm trying to adjust to what is slipping out of my hand and off of my arm. Next thing, the next plate goes. And one goes one direction and one goes the other direction. And I'm doing my best. And I get down to about one plate and I just let both my hands go and drop them all on the ground. Done. slipped. I lost it all. Every bit of it was gone. I dropped it all. The Bible says that Job was stripped of everything. God took his wife. God, of course, I'm not sure that was a bad loss in this case. Not in my case. In my case, I love my wife. But I'm saying in Job's case, because she, when things went looking bad, I mean, if things started looking bad in our life, I'd hate it for her to look at me and say, why don't you just curse God and die? Because if she ever died, I think I'd tell God, why don't you just take her? Either you take her or I'm sending her, one or the other. Come on, you know you think that way. Just saying. And then you know God took his children. You know God takes your children. It's not like you can go down to the dollar store and pick up another. He loses his family. He loses everything he's got. He loses it all. See, if your relationship on God is based upon what you have or what he does for you, then your relationship with God is very superficial. Because your relationship with God has nothing to do with what you have. I'm not saying that God's not good to us, because he is good to us. How many say he's good to us? Amen. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless you. I'm not saying God is not your provider. But have you ever said, God, if you're the provider, where is the provision? God, if you're the healer, where is my healing? If you're the miracle worker, where are the miracles? You're looking in the wrong place if that's your only reason for serving God. You've made a mistake. If that's the only thing that keeps you in, then I'm going to tell you at some point you're probably not going to be in. How many would agree with me that God is looking for a people today who's unmovable? Does anybody agree with me? How many have made up your minds? Come on, how many have made up your mind? 2015. Have you made up your minds? I'm going to serve God no matter what. Yes. Has nothing to do with what I've got. Has nothing to do with even who's with me. Doesn't matter if somebody else isn't going to praise him. I'm praising him. If somebody else isn't going to study his word, I'm studying his word. If somebody else is unwilling to go the next step with God or the deeper in God, I'm going. Unmovable. Solid to the core. I'm going to stay with this as long as God has me. I'm staying this course. I'm not giving up. Not going bitter. Come on, I'm not going to be discouraged. How many have had I'm not talking about a bad week or a bad day. How many this last week could say, I at least had a bad moment? Let me see your hand. If you had a bad moment, just a bad moment, didn't last long, but it was at least a moment. But you stayed in, didn't you? You didn't think during that moment, well, that was a bad moment. I'm going to give up. I'm done. You know, I've come to a couple of conclusions I've learned in my walk with the Lord. I've learned that not everybody could even handle the blessings of God. Is anybody listening to me this morning? Some people, if they were given the blessings, if God was to drop into your lap today more money than you knew what to do with, there are some of you, not all of you, and probably only those that were in my first service. There are some of you that would let what God blessed you with come between you and God. All of a sudden you'd find other things to do, other places to be, other people to see. You would begin to compromise who you are in Jesus Christ. I believe God is looking for men and women today, and I believe you have to be these people that God can count on, that you are absolutely unmovable. Now we're going to look real far ahead into the scripture. Job chapter 13. Now we started in chapter 1 and we actually begin to move through the chapters to see the testings that were placed on Job. And remember, there was more than one conversation between God and Satan. And it even came down to an attack even on his physical person. Job began to suffer boils over his body, and to such a point you'll see him in a picture sitting in an ash pile, in the ash pile, trying to soothe the open wounds that he had, to try to satisfy the pain his body was in. But I love this. He's now in chapter 13. A lot has transpired from chapter 1 to chapter 13. How many today could say a lot's happened in your life? Is anybody here besides me surprised at how far God's brought you? And is anybody surprised that you're even as old as you are? You know, it seems like yesterday I graduated high school. You weren't around when I graduated high school. Those were the good old days. And then my wife and I, this month, will celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary. 37 years. Is she blessed or what? Oh, come on. I'm blessed. 37 years. How is that? I'm only 25. How is that even possible? Time just... Come on. You know, Solomon said life is but a vapor. How many have found out, man, life is going? Everybody look over at Lee over there. It's his birthday. Everybody say happy birthday, Lee.
Happy birthday.
Man, birthdays come and birthdays go, don't they? You blink your eyes. You parents that have little children, man, you need to love on them. Because I got to tell you, they grow up in a minute. And your babies will be having babies. I'm telling you, life just... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It just moves and you find yourself where you are in life and you think, where did the time go? Come on, can anybody relate? It just passes and moves. And we see that Job has done that. He's moved from chapter 1 to chapter 13. He's lost everything. And I love this statement that he makes. Because now when push comes to shove, when everything has passed away and there's nothing else left, Job says, though you slay me, come on, say it with me, yet will I trust him. Isn't that powerful? Does anybody get the power of that? What was Job saying? It doesn't matter. If I never experience another blessing from God, I'm unmovable. If God never saves anyone in my ministry from here on out, I'm unmovable. If I lose everything... It was really good. Brad shared something between services that was pretty good. And I'm terrible. I'm horrible at sports. I'm so bad. Terry, somebody. Thank you. I don't even know what team he plays for. He plays football. Right? What team? He's retired. What team did he play for? You guys are rough. Steelers. Thank you. All right. All right. He played for the Washington Steelers. Got it. All right. So he was up in the stands and he was watching and somebody said something about praising the Lord and they were down on the field and they were supposed to be praising the Lord. He said they don't really praise God. And they looked at him odd that he would say that. He says, because they only praise God when they make a touchdown. Let them drop the ball and see if they praise God. Ooh, I know I didn't do justice, but that was it. That was it, right? Come on, you really praise God when you praise Him when you succeed, and when you praise Him when you blow it. You really praise God when you praise Him when the bank account has more than enough, and you really praise God when you're overdrawn. Because He's the same God. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. How many have ever come to the point where you just know you got to trust God? Come on, you got to let go and trust God. It may not be peaches and cream, and it's certainly not a life of roses, but you got to learn to trust God. Because He's the same God. Some of you have gone through some difficulties. We're praying for some of you right now that are going through very difficult things. But what I want you to know is, in the middle of all those difficult things, number one, God still loves you. Number two, He's still worth serving. You've got to get an attitude within yourself that says, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. How many have got to have a yet? See, the truth of the matter is, we've still got chapters that are still ahead of us, don't we? Is anybody glad with me this morning that you're not who you used to be? Yes. Is anybody happy for the fact that you're not yet still who you're going to be? Yes. And but that there is still a process that God is doing in and through every one of your lives. And if God chooses to put you on the mountaintop, then let's dance the dance of joy on that mountaintop. But if God chooses in His sovereignty to put us in the valley, come on, let's wear the same dancing shoes. And let's dance for the Lord in joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is anybody unmovable in the house? Then my relationship with God is not contingent upon what He does for me, upon what I have or what I don't have. My relationship with God is because of what He's done and who He is. And though He slay me, come on, how many are with me this morning? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Come on, PBFC, are we going to be a people of God? Yes. That no matter what, that no matter what, is anybody with me this morning? That no matter what, I'm going to trust Him. He knows. He does. He is. And I'm going to make it. Amen. Amen. I'm never giving up. I'm never giving in. I'm going to be like the Bible calls the tree that's planted by the waters. Let the storms come. Let the winds blow. Are anybody with me this morning? I don't care what happens in my life. Some of you have suffered loss. You know what I'm talking about. You've had the hardest things being taken from you. Difficult times. I'm not saying it's not difficult. But though He slay me, Daniel, make your way, please. Yet will I trust Him. What you're really saying, in fact, church, this is it. This is where it's at. What you're really saying is this. Here is my heart. Here is my heart. You can have it all. Here is my heart. Are you with me this morning? Here is my heart. Here is my life. Everything that I am. Come on, church, do you feel it? Come on, don't you feel the desire to go a little deeper with Him? Anybody there with me? Don't you feel the desire to commit a little harder? Here's my heart, God. Here it is, God. All that I am, all that I have belongs to You. I may not understand. How many have been in a place of not understanding? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you look at your circumstances and you don't know how you're going to get through it. you don't know how what the, even the other side of whatever you're going through looks like. But you got to know that God is still worth trusting. I'm not telling you you won't face difficult times ahead. I wish I could take every difficult situation away. Can I tell you, as a dad for my children, moms and dads, you know what I'm about to say, and you understand. If I could remove the hard roads in front of them, how many dads and moms wouldn't take those difficult things away? So I would for you. If I could take those hardships, if I could take those rough times, and if taking those away from you would make you better, I would do it. But the reality is, life is what it is. Right? It's what it is. People will look at you and say, how do you smile when you're going through it? You know why? Because I trust Him. I trust Him. Come on, I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Stand with me. Guys, please. Father, we are so grateful that You saved us. You saved us from our sin. You've delivered us from our past. You've established us into the family of God, into the body of Jesus Christ. You've empowered and enabled us by Your Holy Spirit abiding within us. We've experienced the freedom of Your grace. We've acknowledged the handiwork of the miraculous. You've poured Your love out among us. We have faced things, God. We have been challenged. We have faced difficulty and we have suffered loss. The end of Job's story, You've told us, Lord, that You provided double of everything he lost. God, I want to be trustworthy as well. For You to begin to give us double for our trouble. To give us only what You know will only help us and not harm us. God, I'd give everything up before I'd let what I have come between me and You. I want You in my life complete. I want to be unmovable. I want my yea to be yea and my nay to be nay. I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no. Father, You see the hearts of Your people. You know the challenges of life that are before them. You know the commitments that are in this house right now. You know those who have surrendered their all to You. And those even, Lord, that are on the fence. They're indecisive. They're superficial. And there are those that haven't even made the decision yet. They're on the outside, peeking in, trying to make up their own minds. God, thank You for helping me to make up my mind. Thank you for allowing me at the age of 11 years old. Thank you for letting me feel the tug that I made a decision to give my life to you. If you're on that indecisive place in your life and you're not sure, I want to challenge you today. You will never regret fully giving your life to God, fully inviting Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. I'm not telling you you won't face challenges, because you will. I'm not telling you that life will always be fair, because it won't be. But my friend, God will always be good to you. I want to challenge you to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. You say, well, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to ask God to come into my life. Our congregation is going to pray a prayer with me. If you'd like to make a decision for Jesus Christ, I want to invite you today to choose Christ Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You might say, but you have no idea what kind of a person I am. Can I tell you, you're just the kind of person God wants to save. You might say, but I've done some really bad things. That's the kind of people God saves. You're among friends, because we've done some pretty bad things. You may say, you know, I don't even know that I need God. I'm a pretty good person. Well, good people need Christ too. You're among friends. I want to invite you to pray with us today. You're feeling maybe a little tug in your heart, and you're thinking, is that God? It is. Is this the day I'm supposed to receive Jesus Christ? It is. What if I don't do it today? What if you do? Why wait? Why not make the decision now? Choose Him today. Congregation, pray with me. If you'd like to pray this prayer, join with us. I know that God's going to touch your life. I believe that. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus Christ, your Son, as my Savior, my Lord. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I receive your blood. Cover me. Remove my sin. Give me your righteousness. Make me acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. From this day forward, I give you my life. In response to you giving me yours. Amen. Father, bless this house, every single man, woman, boy, and girl. I ask your blessing. Lord, we want to be an unmovable house, an unmovable congregation, steadfast, established in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like special prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's all right. I'd love to pray with you. Come up. I'd be glad to pray with you.